Don Lemon, that hotbed of reality.
I must say that very often liberals in the United States, people who are not for Bush, yes, liberals in the United States, accept with sort of qualifications here and there, but accept basically the Bush principles. The reason for this, I think, is that 9/11 had a very powerful psychological effect on everybody in America. But I think there are many people in the United States, liberal intellectuals, who were really, I think, so affected emotionally by what happened on 9/11 that I think it began to distort their thinking. I know they wouldn't like to say this. Distort their thinking about the world, about America's role in the world. And they're sort of becoming hysterical.
Wilson, where are you?
Are we doing hashtag AskWad?
Welcome!
Versus relax.
La main dans la main, traverser les boulevards, les yeux dans les yeux, comme un roman de gare. J'ai toujours sur moi un polar de toi. Marcher sous la pluie avec toi dans la nuit, c'est pas un problème. Dis-moi juste et je t'aime. Les bijoux, les fleurs, je vois la vie en couleur. Je me demande tous les jours que ferais-je sans toi. Et tu vois, il paraît bien que l'amour, oui, ça ressemble à ça.
Yo,
what up?
Whoa.
Is that loud?
Can you hear me? No. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. My mic, sometimes it'll say like it disconnected when I know that I haven't moved at all physically.
That's what you said.
Nice. yeah, but sometimes it'll disconnect. I don't know why. And it'll just like mute me.
Zach would say, get Roman.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I'm drinking some barley tea that I brewed yesterday. It's so good.
Oh, nice. You know, I was talking to someone. Oh, I was talking to Sutanya about this, how you can't buy real tea in the store.
Oh my God, don't get me started on this, because like, for one, why do white people love appropriating tea so much? Why can't people just drink tea the way it is? Like, just drink oolong or green tea, matcha, sencha, whatever. Why do we need my tea to have notes of licorice, orange peel, and chocolate? Like, that's not tea to me. I'm sorry, I just ranted a little, but
what I'm just saying is the tea bags you buy, these tea bags.
Yeah.
It's tea dust. Tea dust, exactly. Yeah. It's not tea.
That's why you have to get, like, I get my tea imported from, like, Taiwan, Japan, Korea. I'm not even kidding. Like, I get
Because you gotta have one of those, like, metal, I have one of those metal spoon things that you put it in the spoon thing and it closes, then you put it in the water.
Oh, yeah, like the little, it's like a tea bag, but it's reusable and it's for loose leaf tea. Right?
Yeah,
I don't know what it's called. Like, yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what that contraption is called.
Oh, speaking of, check this out. Hold on a second. Look at this.
I also get there's like tea bags you can buy from the Asian store that are for you to load your own loose leaf tea into. And then it just works like a tea bag.
Take a look at that.
Pretty convenient. See, oh, nice. That is coming along nicely. Yo, look at that fractal pattern. Like, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, it's a beautiful plant. I'm in love with it. I'm going to be so sad when I have to take it down.
Why would you have to take it down?
To harvest it.
Oh. Well, you won't be sad for too long after you take it down.
I mean, you could tell by just looking at this plant that it's cosmic.
Yeah. It's like, pretty incredible.
What are we doing here? What are we doing? Why is this thing illegal?
It should not be.
Good God, it's insanity.
I'm seriously like, I really hope we see like nationwide legalization in like my lifetime. I feel like we should, but it's just so stupid. Like
even the way that it's legalized though is highly controlled. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's because you can't just make something from that was illegal and you can't just turn it legal without like precautions, without like people flipping off. Right? Like people need to be eased into it. They can't be just like, you can't just like hit them in the face with it. I mean, because it was known as a gateway drug for so long, you know, like it's like people need to like learn slow, like think of it differently over time rather than just be like, oh, it's not a gateway drug anymore.
Oh, man, my sore.
Did you work out?
Practice yesterday.
Oh, nice, nice.
I was running those kids. No mercy.
You got to teach them young. I'm not even kidding.
These kids, they're so soft these days. You know? They're so soft. And the parents, I mean, don't even get me started on parents. Honest to God. It's like, why did you decide to have kids? Some of these people, you know?
Yeah.
When all you're going to do is hand them an iPad.
Oh.
Yeah.
While you're outside, for Christ's sake. While you're outside.
That's ridiculous. Go outside and play on the iPad.
Good Christ. I just like, it became too easy for people to have kids. I'm sorry for anyone who's having trouble having kids, but ultimately, it just became too easy. You know,
what do you mean by that? Like,
yeah, I'm not sure. I'm
like, it's the science is such that if you really, really trying, you could probably get it done. Or
I mean, just take the epidural, for instance, right? Mm. Like you can go have a child, get numbed up and not feel any pain. You shouldn't even be allowed to have the epidural. You should feel that pain.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez. I mean,
this is a psychopath.
You go have a baby and then
that's what I'm saying, Eden, is that if you have to endure that, you go, wow, this was really something. You know, there's people.
This thing must be important.
Yeah, like, but what if the trade-off is like you either have the epidural or you're not going to make it through childbirth? Like, what about that? Are you just saying those people shouldn't be able to have kids? Is that thing that's fucked up too? Like, science and research exists for a reason. We have to progress
Jade just wants to get rid of half the American parent population. But
there's people out there that, yeah, I mean, there's
the problem is making kids is too much fun, so you're always going to have kids.
This is true. That is true.
I didn't need the process that much fun.
Very good point.
People are very invested in the process, for sure.
Trust the process. It's not about the end product. It's about the process, you guys.
It's about the process.
It's about getting
the kid
there.
Is second. Yeah, some people really do just want kids as ornaments, though.
I mean, I could have 10 really not at this
like,
point.
It's like an investment, because they're going to, you know, they quote-unquote take care of you when you get old. Like, that's how it is in the Middle East, right?
You
have to have a lot of kids. So.
My friends say that shit all the time. Like, who else is going to take care of you when you get older? I'm like, I guess. I mean, I guess, man.
Dude.
Oh, no.
Absolutely. I mean, that's when I convinced my wife, to have kids. I said that exactly. I was like, I don't want to be old. And like, no one's coming to visit me, you know? And as it stands now, I mean, I'll have one child, I believe. Maybe two. I think Josie will come. Grayson's going to be like, who? What's your name? Sadie, though, will come.
Yeah. Yo, Sadie's the best.
Oh my God. Yesterday was hilarious because she's my assistant coach at practice now.
I love it.
And actually, at one point, I got a little nervous because my actual assistant, I'm giving Sadie the tasks.
Wait, who is your other assistant, though? Is it like another parent or like?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. His name's Coach Tom. And because Sadie's like, what can I do? What can I do? So I have her do a lot of just like menial things, like pick up the cones or get the balls together. She was playing goal at one point. She does this thing where the game's called knockout, where the players dribble down the field and that you have to go and knock the ball away from them. And but at one point we play this game called red light, green light. It's about keeping your head up.
Right.
And I said, Sadie, just because I didn't really know the game until yesterday. And so Sadie's like, let's do red light, green light. I was like, all right, go tell the kids what to do. She gets up in front of them. She goes, how many of you know red light, green light? It was funny. But then I was like, wait a minute. Maybe I should have my assistant do this. I wore them out, you know? Wore them out. We went overtime into the dark. But I don't get any greater pleasure from anything at this point in my life than that. I don't know what it is, but
I think there's something fulfilling about like you're teaching these kids discipline and teamwork and like having I'm a big fan of like these programs for kids because I just think that's why you end up with so many sedentary adults that don't know at all how to exercise because like they never did any of these activities as children or growing up. Like I think that's a big part of America's obesity problem.
Yeah.
Well, that and don't start when you're like very young. Cause like I have friends that are like in our 30s now who are like, they like don't know at all how to like, don't know where to start. Like, because they have no background, like even as a child, like they can't even like think back and be like, oh, this is what it's like to run. Like I never lost that. And I'm thankful as hell for like my parents pushing me to do physical activities and like learning that sort of like discipline and like structure around like having to practice every day. Or I mean, I don't know if y'all are practicing every day, but I mean, by the time you're in middle school or like high school, it's definitely like practice every day. So,
well, some of the kids do two practices in a game, but I send the kids an email during the week. And I attach a couple videos. One is very basic soccer skills, like just to dribble, you know. And then the other one's like Messi's top 10 goals. You know? Nice.
Magical Messi videos, all of them.
I mean, I never really followed soccer or anything. I always say Steve Nash is the one that got me into it, honestly. Just watching his Instagram videos when he's doing soccer stuff, I'm like, I could watch that all day. And so I think he was the one that really inspired me. And so when you see like the top level, it's just fucking insane. Like Ronaldo. Wait, is that the good looking guy, Ronaldo? Right?
He's not that good looking. He's like good looking from far, but not good looking up close.
Come on. Come on,
I mean, compared to Messi, he's good. He's hot.
Oh, wow.
I'm always like, this can't be real. When I see him, I'm like, this can't be real. This seems really artificial.
No, he's always looked like that.
No,
he's a kid.
And that talented. Really?
I mean, he's gotten tweaks like Tom Brady has over the years. You know, he's tweaked some things, but he's basically got
cheek implants.
Tom Brady's gotten the hair, the cheeks, the chin, he's done it all. He might even have veneers.
He's a very different player than Messi, right? You know this, Sarah,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. No, Messi's like on a different level.
You know when the cartoons where the cartoon runs and their legs just start turning into dust? Like, you know, where it's so that's what he's like.
Yeah.
Like when you watch him run, it's like, how the fuck is he running that fast?
Yeah, he's very talented.
It's incredible. Man, it just shows you. When I was a hockey player, I remember when I got to high school at Loomis, I learned about the pyramid and how difficult it is, you know, of becoming a pro. And I had always wanted to become a pro at that. And I actually thought it was a realistic thing up until I was like 13 or 14. And then I saw the pyramid and I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? That's the way I'm going to pro. Especially because I was 5'7", you know. That's your DNA tells you a lot right from the get-go. Anyway, where's – oh, there he is. What up, Zach?
Rebuttal, TJ McConnell's DNA.
It's good DNA. It's hard scrabble DNA, man.
That's hard. Yeah, it is hard scrabble DNA. Yeah, I can't argue with that.
This DNA wears a work a freaking steel-toe work boot.
Yo, did anyone read that Hollinger article from yesterday by any chance?
Which one? Not the yet. One about
the Lakers should be amazing for deep drafting?
Like in the late first round? Yeah.
And the second round, right?
Who they get in the second round? I think Caruso was undrafted, if I'm not mistaken. Did Caruso even play for a college basketball team?
It was weird. So you had this
Texas A&M, I believe.
Oh, you had this awful team.
No, he just existed. He just walked right into the NBA. Yeah,
listen, because I don't watch college basketball anymore, so I wouldn't have known, honestly, either way. Like, if he just, you know what I mean?
He played four years.
Division III or something.
4 years at Texas A&M.
Gotcha.
He averaged 8 points.
Oh, wow. My God.
It was just strange, though. Like, you had this really dysfunctional organization drafting amazingly, right? It's like, wow. It's a dichotomy. But what do you think about tonight?
I mean, that says more about the draft to me than anything else. Like,
I think the draft is a degree of luck.
Well, wait, though, Mace. You're not thinking about this right. Maybe they're hiding players for L.A. You know what I'm saying?
Who's hiding them from where? Caruso.
It's systemic.
Wasn't hiding. He played hiding in the them? Big 12.
Well, you can't target? Like, what are they?
But you know how they
bunch of D2 guys.
But like, there is the business draft. Of draft, or, you know, draft making, right? The people that write about it, perhaps, you know, in bed with certain people.
Chad
you know
Ford?
Yeah. I don't think that's how teams. I think you're. I think you're
Barry Caruso and his 8 points a game for us. No. Get him.
Jade is doing great. Is transferring basketball media cronyism onto draft Knicks, which is just a different game that the draft gods are playing than the sort of sycophants around LeBron and Kobe and stuff like that.
we're not gonna just let this fly. Jade said he's great.
Caruso?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a very good player.
He's
an NBA player. If he played anywhere else besides the Lakers, nobody would be talking about him.
Yeah.
The Knicks, we'd be talking about him. Because who's the white dude?
Who's the
curly-haired dude that we, like, freaked out about? Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I can't even remember his name.
I want to say his name's Brad, but it's not. No, I mean, it is, but it isn't.
I forget who you're talking about.
Who was the Spaniard that the Lakers used to have, Zach?
Ron Baker.
Huertas?
Ron
Baker. Oh, my God.
Gasol?
Who was his name? Huertas? What was his name, the Lakers?
Oh, Marcelo Huertas?
Oh, love that.
Oh, my God. He had one of the greatest plays I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Which he tried to throw the ball at the rim, I think over his head. Hold on. I was there for it. Where this backward shot. Yeah, it comes up right away on YouTube. It's oh my God.
The algorithm knows.
Oh wait. Hold on. I gotta get my toilet fixed real quick. I'll be right back.
What?
That's awesome.
Candyman probably just
that's
got
a tease sword. Right there. That's how you. What that's how setup. You do some good podcasting.
That's a new excuse.
What do you think about tonight? Is it going to be interesting? You think, Wes, or what?
Yeah, I think it'll be. I think the Heat are going to play better, Goran or not. They're going to play better, but I just think they're going to lose. I thought they would lose the series anyway. I'm not one of these people that wanted to be a hipster and pick them, but you know, without Goran. It becomes just what they want to do just becomes more difficult because like that pick and roll that they love to run with Bam, where they spread the other guys out, and it's just Goran and Bam's guy. That's not Jimmy's thing. He's not that savvy in pick. He's not as savvy in pick and roll as Bam is. Obviously, they let Tyler Hero do it in spot minutes, but that just Kendrick Nunn has been, you know, collecting splinters in his detailed ass all this players, all playoffs. It's not happening. I'm just telling you, it's not happening.
Should I tune in? Out for sure.
Goran's done. He's done. And even if he comes back, he's going to be bad.
So like, he was like my favorite player.
Did they isolate the play he got injured on or no?
They showed – they were showing something from the first half, but the problem is he played after that play. So I don't know.
Well, I feel like with plantar fasciitis issues, it's like – it's not like one thing that –
What is that? Like when flat
it's
foot?
It's the tendon that runs along the bottom of your foot.
It gets
I remember first hearing about it when
through that.
Tim Duncan had it.
Duncan until it's torn. Until it's torn, Jade.
I played through that.
You can't have surgery on it, so you just have to like
you have to wait it out. With it. Yeah.
Tape it up, buddy.
Oh my God.
Unless it's
put some dirt on it.
I love him too.
Some dirt on it.
Savvy vet. Love the savvy vet.
I have his son's jersey from before he changed it to number one. I have the number two from when, like 2010.
That was a crazy game, by the way.
The Spurs game?
No, the Heat game. They were kicking their ass in the beginning. Then I turned my head and the Lakers were kicking their ass. It was so fast how quickly it changed. But they got Howard out there, put AD at the center. So it's the way to go. Plus, The injuries didn't help, but hopefully Bam will come back. At least I like him.
Yeah, he'll be back. I think
just
he'll
give
be
me
back.
Some competition. I want to see some competition. Yeah, I don't want to see like LeBron get a sweep and then have to listen to that narrative all summer. Like, give me something.
I mean,
well, you know what the like narrative is going to be. It was the journey was too easy.
Yeah,
you know. The journey was so easy. It was the easiest road to the finals that's ever. Jordan never faced a journey this easy. Jordan walked 20 miles to each finals game, and, you know, that's all it's going to be.
Well, I mean, I was thinking this to myself the other yesterday. Jordan really sealed the deal with the Doc. You know what I'm saying?
Why do you think he wanted it to get made
sealed around this time? He was, yes, exactly. Nice. Preventative measure. Like that. That's why he's the greatest. Just that thought alone.
Yeah, I don't think the Jordan's greatest player thing is gonna is gonna endure. Honestly, I think in 30 years people are gonna be calling LeBron the greatest, or 20 years, or whenever 20 years after LeBron is officially actually done, I bet you. People are going to start peddling the LeBron was – well, actually, that's what's going to happen.
So,
that's what always happens.
I don't think so. I do not think so. Because
there's – you got to figure what happened to the Russell and Russell was the best that I – nobody even fucking talks about Russell anymore. It's going to happen. I promise Bill? You. Yes.
Oh, yes. You mean way down the line, perhaps?
Yeah. Down the line, they're just gonna gonna fade because that's just how it always happens. Because his case is not as overwhelming as Wayne Gretzky's is. You know, like Wayne Gretzky is just like it's just like when you look at his numbers compared to anybody else, and then the accolades and all of that. It's like, all right, you can't even reasonably do it. Whereas I think, you know, the numbers are going to be comparable enough that people are going to get to, you know, do the hipster stuff.
Yeah, but still, like, if Gretzky played in the six-team league with Gordie Howe, he would have lasted three games. You know, he would have been smoked. He had to be tough back then. Although Gretzky was tough, but he was surrounded by bruisers that protected him. That's what I want, Sarah. I need some bruisers. Although I'm a bruiser myself.
Jesus, what?
Are you gonna bruise or are you gonna have somebody else do the bruising, Jade?
I don't know. It's a good. The problem is I don't like to fight. You know, I'm not. Does anyone here like to fight?
No.
Like physically or
maybe Zach?
Yeah, like physically.
Zach, maybe when he was younger, yeah.
I mean, I feel like if any of us still want to fight at our age, we need to, like, it's, no, you should grow out of that by the time you're, like, 22.
Well, you gotta get pushed to the edge. What
men are out here, like, actually picking fist fights?
You know, like when Hank, when Hank learns that Walt's the drug dealer, when he learns that he's Heisenberg, he punches him in the face. Yeah, remember that scene?
Different, though. That's not like a real person.
I think we still live in the hold me back era. I think that that's beyond even sports. I think a lot of people want to act like they want to fight, but don't.
Yeah, but no one actually fights. That's what I mean, though. Like, people want to act like they're going to actually hit each other, but no one ever does.
That's a good point.
A guy thing.
I want to actually see some contact, like fist to face.
Oh, you're saying we don't. You're saying that we're soft and that you
want to
see fights.
No, I'm saying that so many people pretend to want to fight, like you said, the hold me back shit. Mm. Like, but nobody actually wants to throw down.
Yeah, right. Except for the people who like actually know what they're doing, like know how to box or and then they're just sitting there very calm, like.
Right. I'm like.
Let's see if anything actually happens.
Yeah.
Well, there's a great scene in Breaking Bad where the legendary fight between Jesse and Walt. You remember this?
Yeah.
And it's going back and forth. At one point, Walt's kicking his ass. And then at the end, Jesse just smokes him. And then they're so tired, they get up. Walt just like, all right, see you tomorrow, whatever. there's something maybe therapeutic about fighting.
You know? There totally is, but I'm just saying if that's your like kink, then like there's so many like gyms that have you go hit a bag or like go sign up for an MMA class. Like there's ways to take out that aggression, which I think those are awesome ways to like I love hitting the bag to get some good aggression out, like kicking or hitting like the heavy bag.
Yeah, like I'll kick my tire when I'm like really mad.
Oh yeah. When I did men's hockey, there were some moments. But hockey's innate to fighting, you know?
Yeah. It's like integral to the sport.
Yeah, I mean, stuff will just happen, and it's also tribal too. You know, like guys in your team, you're like, I don't really like this guy, but all of a sudden in this fight scenario, you're my guy.
I got my ass kicked once in like fourth grade. I remember this kid was like dragging me by my hair around like the playground. That was like the only fight that I remember.
Do we remember what it was about?
Hell no. It was probably like he took a ball that I wanted or something. Like,
no,
I was very
about
like
a girl.
Fourth grade, Sarah?
Yeah.
Yo, elementary
school. But that
school
was the
girls
only fight I've ever
rough.
Really been in. I think my height has carried me over.
Yeah, no
point.
One wants to fight you.
Why would you want to fight the big dude?
Yeah.
When I was living in New York City in my mid-20s, a couple years ago, and I used to go to this Irish bar called Jack Dempsey's on 2nd Avenue. Down on 3rd Street.
I've walked by that place a bunch of times and I laughed every time, like, really? You named this bar after Jack Dempsey? That's kind of funny.
So, and it was part of the Irish, there was a whole Irish bar network, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
a huge, the Blarney Stone, McSorley's.
Like, bartenders that would work here would work there. They knew each other. It was like a whole little thing, big thing. And anyway, I got to know the bartender there. His name was Colum. It was funny. Two things was, you know, he used to hang out there. It was Dave Matthews and Steve from Blue's Clues. You remember that show?
Oh, my God.
Oh, the meth guy?
What a pull.
I was there the day that the first episode of Blue's Clues aired, and he was watching it at the bar there. He was friends with the daytime bartender. So anyway, I spent a lot of time there. And there was one night. You know, we were just, you know, it was just a party. People were drunk. And Colum, the bartender, just all of a sudden just punches me in the gut. Like, hard. And I was just like, I didn't. As I later found out, it's like, this is what the Irish people do.
Would you say that you didn't know what hit you?
I was so, and so I don't like to admit this, but I cried. I cried. Dude. And be like, he felt so bad.
Oh my God.
That's like a DNA test. You're clearly not Irish.
And his girlfriend was there, and she consoled me. She
that was like, horrible.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry that I'm laughing so hard.
Like, I took it the wrong way. I didn't take it as a compliment. You know what I mean?
How could you? It's not a compliment.
That's so what it is.
You were just sitting on a stool, Jade, and the guy just punched you in the stomach?
I don't remember what the scenario was.
Was it because Blue's Clues was getting him really riled up?
No. Yo,
I'm just seeing Jade hunched over, just sobbing.
I mean, you don't understand.
In his stomach, and it's terrible. It's hard.
It was a real punch. That's what I'm saying. This was like a little... Like
that shit friendly. Is like a shock to the system. You ever like fallen directly on your ass?
Yes.
Like, you can't breathe. Yeah. Yo.
It's a concrete. Yeah. Yep. I totally like almost passed out, I think.
Yeah.
So anyway, the guy's girlfriend apologized.
No, it was just one of those things. She was like,
"Damn,
it's okay, Jade. You didn't mean it." You know, and I was like, I figured it out at that point. You know,
did you ever go back to that bar?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a bonding moment for him and I. You know.
Yeah, once
that's what I'm saying. Drink out of it. That's what I mean. I'm not really a fighter when it comes right down to it. You know what I'm saying? The other time was when I was in high school. There was a kid. Call my girlfriend a slut in the locker room. And I got so pissed. I went up to him. I did the class. I told the story. The classic grabbed someone by the shirt and pushed them up against the locker.
Oh, nice. Like you see in the movie?
I was like, if you ever say that again, motherfucker, you're dead. Kind of deal.
Did you mush his face?
I mean, I did. I mean, I pushed him. I took him up, and then I had all this anger. And I put him down on the bench, and it was just like one of those things. Like someone was like, "Stop it, Jay! Don't do it!" You know.
There was literally people holding you back.
God.
You weren't asking them to, but they were doing it.
No, but I scared the shit out of him. I don't know how I mustered that up, honestly. But it was just one of those things where it was a very sensitive subject to me. You know, if something like what you were saying, like you got to get the touch point that's going to get you there. You know, some people are easy.
Right.
Like my brother. My brother was a hothead. You know?
Yeah, that's the word. Jake's a hothead?
He was.
Oh, man, because he's so chill now.
Yeah, thanks, marijuana.
And we were actually... our band was playing at Jack Dempsey's once, and it wasn't a great place to play for us because it was just, you had to be a real bar band. We weren't a bar band. We were more of a venue band, and we needed a lot of our stuff was, you know, needed to be treated by a good sound guy who did the board. And playing a place like Dempsey's was like, you had to play, which I had a lot of respect for. And so we were playing one night there. I think it was the only time we played there. And it was a lot of people and it was loud and we were doing okay. And we started getting heckled, you know, by this dude. And Jacob did not take to it lightly. He starts calling the guy out from the stage. It's like, hey, what the fuck you want? He starts calling them the Balding Brothers, which I thought was kind of strange because we were the Balding Brothers. And it ended up spilling out onto the street, but no punches were thrown. But the police had to show up and stuff like that. It was crazy. Jake was ready to go. You know, I was holding Jake back that night. Because I was just like, we suck, Jake.
What kind of records do you guys typically play? Because I imagine you guys being like a Fish type of band.
No. We're more like Oasis, you know?
Gotcha. Like,
Are you more of the Liam or the Noel?
Noel.
And that, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, Zach's still getting that toilet fixed, huh? What
happened? Is that what we're calling this thing?
Yeah, that sounds like a euphemism for sure. Like, yeah. It is 100%.
Just getting the old toilet flush out.
Yeah, moving the couch. I had to move a couch. Was a classic, yeah.
Still waiting for the end of that story.
Just getting the old knob turned.
Oh my god.
Oh jeez.
That's a bit more over.
Slip inside the eye of your mind. Don't you know you might find a better place to play?
Started here. What do you want to start with, Eden? Love questions or normal ones?
Let's do normal ones. We're a little bit in rerun territory. I think there's not much love stuff going on during the pandemic, but these are good ones. I have good ones. We can wait for Zach, right, though, if we get him back ever.
All right, Maze.
Maze, got love questions about Zach and his toilet at this point, so.
Zach, from what happened last week with you? What was that?
So my coworker broke his finger, so he's done for a month. And then my other coworker did not show up. So when I got to work, it was just very short. So I had to stay.
But that's such like a shit situation. It's like, why do you get punished for like being responsible adult?
Because we're a team, Eden.
Because,
you know, when Goran Dragic hurts his plantar fasciitis, Kendrick Nunn has to play minutes for some reason.
Right.
You know, like it doesn't make a lot of sense, but when it doesn't go both ways, it certainly doesn't feel great. But theoretically, we're all supposed to pick each other up. So that's what was happening last week. Ben Gordon at Praise the Gourd. Who is your favorite Haitian? I mean, we all love Waz, so let's try to leave Waz out of this.
Other than Waz, right? Like,
nah, I don't understand this as a two-part question, but what is your favorite type of lettuce? I don't know how those go together, but...
I mean, historically, it's definitely been Wyclef, but Naomi Osaka is coming for the crown. That is a woman after my heart. I love her a lot. After winning the... what was it, the U.S. Open, she actually went to Haiti for vacation. And she's like, you know, on her Instagram, it's like, cause she's basically like Haiti's tourism board. Like, oh, you should come and see this and do that. And this is a historic site and blah, blah, blah. And so she's great. And so Wyclef, because he definitely 100% put Haitians on the map and made it sort of publicly acceptable to be Haitian. Which, you know, I've explained on here a bunch of times, like Haitians got blamed for AIDS and in New York, they'd whoop your ass just for being Haitian in like high school and shit. It was terrible. HBO, Haitian body odor. It was really a miserable. It was like how I imagine like Middle Eastern people after 9/11 or Mexican people in this age or whatever. It was that bad. And Wyclef and the Fugees, you know, dropping the number one album of that year, winning Grammys and MTV Video Awards, and you know, basically Wyclef proclaiming his proudness to be a Haitian at every single turn. That's, you know, so he's the legendary in that, right? Like just mainstreaming our culture here in America. So he'll always, you know, the money he stole in, during the earthquake with Lily and shit.
Don't go aside,
aside.
Let me just tell you something. The Western world never forgave Haiti for becoming the first independent country in that area, right?
Sure.
And then they didn't like the Wyclef rise either, and they stuck him with that. They got him.
Yeah, but my thing about the Wyclef thing is, like, he wasn't the only one grifting. That's what I was trying to get at, Jay. Like,
I'm
like,
always telling Ben, I'm like, dude, let's start a foundation.
I'm not somebody who holds that against him too much. He's done a lot of things for the country. So, shouts to Wyclef, but shouts to Naomi Osaka. She's incredible.
I'm gonna have to go with my son Lou Dort.
Oh yes, Lugens
Dort.
Lugens Dort. That's such a Haitian name. My God.
James Harden stopper.
Yes, sir. I thought Nerlens Noel was one of the most Haitian names that I'd ever heard in my life, right? Then comes Scal Labissiere. I'm like, son, this is ridiculous. And then it's Lou Dort. And I'm like, damn, that's a pretty normal sounding sort of name for a Haitian person. I've never really heard. That's pretty nice. You know, like I have a cousin whose name is Stacy Simon. You know, like that's just a rare occasion. And Joseph is a very popular last name for Haitian people. So oftentimes you'll get somebody whose last name is Joseph in a regular name like Stephanie or Christina or something like that. But when I saw Lou Dort, I was like, wow, that's crazy. Good for him. You know? And then I saw that, no, it's just a shortening for Lugens. I was like, okay, that sounds like more like.
Yeah, I'm looking at a list of famous Haitians. There's some pretty incredible names on here. Joacil Demeux Desbrosses.
Who's that?
He is a muse actress and he's a radio journalist.
What? There you go.
Garcelle Beauvais.
Yeah, it's from the Jamie Foxx show, Fancy, from Jamie Foxx's Haitian. Maxwell, the singer, the neo-soul R&B legend. He's Haitian and Puerto Rican, but we keep claiming him.
Obviously, she's from Wild Wild West, too.
Exactly. So. Obviously, you guys know Jean-Michel Basquiat. He's also a Puerto Rican Haitian, we're not letting the Puerto Ricans have him. Yeah. What's his name? W.E.B. Du Bois. Probably the first prominent Haitian in America ever. You know, he became a scholar amongst other things, cultural critic, black liberation leader, all of that shit.
Do you think anyone's ever said scholar at your boy?
Oh, geez, Zach. Go back and fix a toilet.
It's fixed, thank you very much.
Yo, remember
that I didn't fix it.
What was that jobber wrestler's name that looked like a mechanic or a plumber? Not the big boss man. That guy was like a real wrestler.
He was like a prison guard.
This dude, saw Jim Duggan. Jobber.
Junkyard Dog?
Was it the Junkyard Dog? Fuck, I forget his name. But he just looked like his armpits stunk all the time. I was like, yo, this Nasty is what Boys? I imagine. No, not the Nasty Boys.
It's Hacksaw.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Famous.
Do you remember how he became a wrestler? By any chance?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Yeah.
No, I think he was just the guy.
The way he came out was he was a fan. He was a fan that brought a 2x4 to this. He was sitting in the audience.
The Brooklyn Brawler. That was his name.
I know the Brooklyn Brawler.
The Brooklyn Brawler, bruh.
Oh, yes, this guy. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, that's after my time.
Oh, this is the time.
Oh, my goodness.
They did that shit with they used to love do that, like bring a guy out of the crowd wrestling move. Cause didn't they do that with like Earthquake?
Such a jobber.
Was it gonna be like Dino Bravo could like do push-ups with anybody on his back or something like that? And then they brought Earthquake, who's like 500 pounds or something like that.
Earthquake and Typhoon.
natural disasters, baby.
And such a fanatic.
Oh, they were part of Jimmy Hart's team.
The Hart Foundation. I love Jimmy Hart. The Mouth of the South.
He was excellent. I went down a Rowdy Roddy Piper pit the other day.
Oh, legend.
Mostly because of a Stephen A. rant. And I was like, wait a minute, this is getting real close.
Rowdy Roddy Piper. Piper on the mic was top five, dead or alive, oh, for sure. Oh, God.
I mean, some of the stuff, if you go back and listen to it, it's insane.
Well, just let's think about it for a second. This is the same man that in Boston took your world's heavyweight champion and beat him. They say, well, you were counted out. Well, champ, it'll be okay. You'll get him next time. Next time, don't be so foolish as to get counted out. So I come back in a return match with your grand champion, Hulk Hogan, and I give him the whip-em of his life again. Then that night, I went out and beat up the entire town of Boston. And then what they want me to do is be afraid because they got some guy they call the living legend,
I wish They Live qualified for Cinephobe. It's not even close because it's a great movie, but They Live is just, man, what a great. If we liked each other on Cinephobe and wanted to do movies that didn't hurt each other, we would do something like that.
What's the last movie you did, Zach?
The last movie that was released, Lawnmower Man. We did Lawnmower Man, but we've recorded a couple since then.
Wait, who's in Lawnmower Man?
Pierce Brosnan. Jeff Fahey.
Hank Schrader. Are you talking about From Outer Space? They Live. Is this the movie?
They Live. It's the lookout for propaganda movie.
Wow, this doesn't qualify.
No, it's like 86% or 85%, something like that.
Who directed this?
Oh man, like
a Cronenberg. Film I want to see
Carpenter. I think John Carpenter did.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, John Carpenter directed.
Wow, I've never even heard of this movie.
What? Oh my god! Yeah, it's starring Roddy Piper and Keith David.
Oh my god!
It's a phenomenal movie. You got to watch it today, Jade. This is right up your alley.
Nice.
It's a great movie, and there is like a 9-minute fight scene where it is just two guys. Nothing fancy. This isn't like CGI and all the Transformers shit. Like, it's just two guys beating the shit out of each other for 9 minutes.
Wow. It said he went to WrestleMania 3 and he met Rowdy Roddy Piper. That's where it all started. That's funny.
It's great. It is absolutely great.
He says, when I met Roddy Piper, I felt that he also had these qualities. He looks as if he's lived life as opposed to looking like a glamorous Hollywood movie star. I didn't even know he died, honestly.
Piper?
Yeah.
Wasn't it recent? Wasn't it like within the last couple of years?
Maybe 2015. 3 or 4 years ago.
Jesus.
Yeah. I didn't know.
Okay.
He was a big part of my childhood.
Maze, I got a question for you.
Yep. I mean, that's my job, but okay, go ahead.
Do you think, in your honest opinion, do you think Amin has any idea what he's doing here with this gauntlet that he's tried to throw down? I feel like he's shooting from the hip and he has no plan.
I don't think that he's shooting from the hip. I think that he's like reading the headline. He's not reading the article.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like you said,
what's going on?
Well, Zach has previously said, "Oh, I hate RIPD so much.
It's my least favorite movie of all time.
It's one of
the few movies that makes me."
We had a bit about I'm gonna make him watch it on the train, and then we're gonna kill each other. Like, haha, fun stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then Amin, you know, he went to that bag of tricks early. Instead of getting creative. But to be honest, you know, your comeback pick, I think, also was a misfire. So I'm fascinated to see what happens next.
Okay, personally. Just wait till the next pick.
Yeah, bring it on. You won't be picking that, but Right. Eden, you got any love questions?
I sure do. As I prefaced before, we've touched on these subjects before. First question from friend of the show, Abolish Electoral College, at typed in whatever. After a breakup, do you keep or delete photos of the ex? I'm team keep the photos because I rarely delete anything. We're going to do like this as a two part. We're going to do like regular photos and then we'll do like photos. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Two part.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just feel like there's some classification that we need to specify before we break this down. Okay, so for me, unless it's a particularly like painful breakup, like there was extreme toxicity or abuse involved that I need to purge from my life, I'm not going to delete the pictures entirely. I'm pretty good at like, I'm not someone that like sits there and like just looks at old pictures on my phone very much. I'm actually one of those pictures that tries to take, I try to take so many pictures and I never look at them again, if I'm being honest. Sometimes it's nice to know that they're there. Like I'm not sitting there like wistfully looking at all the pictures if I'm trying to move forward. So I don't feel the need to delete the pictures. And when it comes to social media, I think like it's less about like, do you come off as single now versus like, I don't think you need to purge all the old pictures of every relationship you've been in. Like that's kind of ridiculous because it's like, this is a part of your life that did actually happen. So it's like, you know, I mean, I'm not
Waz and I'd love the reveal.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's become one of my favorite pastimes. I happen to not be somebody who does that, who like will look at old pictures of myself and people that I was dating. I just don't look at old pictures like that. You know what I mean? But the other type of flicks y'all talking about. So I actually have a great story involving this. I used to have one of those apps, those secret apps.
Yeah, yeah. Like the secret folder. You can just
put the pictures in a secret folder.
Right.
And you kind of, it's under lock and key, it's password protected. Them.
Yeah.
Yada, 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 yada. So of course I had one of those and had it forever. I want to say I've had it since like 2013. And nice. I think like 6 or 8 months ago, the app went out of business and it's closed. So it's done.
Oh, no, you lost all the pictures?
Just in one fell swoop, everything is gone.
It's
just
gone. No.
Yeah. I was bummed the day that I realized that it happened, but like, who gives? I haven't actually missed it. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I was definitely like, wow, all those years of hoarding and now look. But yeah, it's a wrap.
I think it's directly tied to how many pictures you take and post. Like, I don't take and post that many pictures. So like, I'm not going to go back and delete like the 3 or 4 or 5 photos that I have with my ex, like on social media. I did change like my profile picture, like when we broke up. And if you take a lot of photos and post like, I don't know, 2 a week or more than that, let's say, I don't see any problem going back and paring some of those down.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Like I feel like that's what I mean by there's no need to erase all trace. But like if you are someone that posted a lot of pictures together, like you probably don't want your whole feed to just be photos of your life together with someone if that person's not in your life anymore.
And you're allowed to keep all the photos that they took of you if you had an Instagram boyfriend. So you can just keep those.
And I just have too many thoughts on the subject, man.
It's let's hear them.
I like the
hashtag the divorce thoughts.
It's again the need to overshare with people on the internet about your relationship. This thing that's supposed to be basically not private, that it's a secret, but it's a bond that's happening between two people and nobody else. Like this idea, like I was on Instagram on Twitter, and somebody posted pictures of Carl Anthony Towns and Jordan Woods, and it was like, yo, it's so dope to see Jordan so happy and love and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, You don't know that that's what's happening. These people took pictures on vacation and posted it. You don't know anything about their relationship. I just hate the, like, one, that people are posting all the time, and two, that people are falling for it. I think that's what I really hate, is that people fall for the bullshit lie of those pics.
But Waz, Carl's ex-girlfriend commented on the picture, "I'm so happy for you."
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
So it's got to be real.
That's a lie. So good that's can another get lie. No woman has ever been actually happy for another woman. We know that's not the case. Come on now.
Was.
Did you just call Carl Anthony Towns a woman?
I just think it's weird to air on social media. Like, if you're actually happy for someone, you can just text them and tell them you're happy for them. Like, why would you, like, I don't know. I'm against that type of
so this is a different way of going about that, but I also feel that when, like, there's tragic news, like, I don't feel the need to comment, "I'm so sorry." Like, I will do it occasionally, but if I know the person, I will text or call
text them.
I don't need people to see, like, oh, he, you know, gave his condolences or anything. And I don't even know if people are looking for that, right? But, like, if they see it, like, to me, I don't know. That's a very, like, kind of, I guess, on the fly, like, decision. Where I do think it's a little odd to be, like, outwardly, and I don't even want to get into the whole, like, Chrissy Teigen thing. Like, you grieve how you grieve, right? Like, that, that I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about, like,
it's a bit awkward for all of us, though. It was like,
sure,
this is bad.
Right. Sure. But, like, I do also, like, if you want to grieve the way you want to grieve, go for it. Right?
I'm not
going
to want anyone
If you want to share that with the world and then see, you know, the outpouring support, if that helps you, whatever, like, go for it. I'm not going to judge that, but it's the people who then do comment, like, I do find it to be a little performative, and maybe that's me being cynical and wrong about the situation, but I don't know what to do with that.
It's awkward because it's like, you could just reach out to them personally, especially if it's like, I feel like celebrities, like, just using the Chrissy Teigen thing as an example, like, you see a lot of celebrities, like, reposting it with a comment or, like, you know, just like, this is so, like, sort of like lauding it, and it's just like, yo, this is like a really personal thing that, like, happened to them, and yes, they shared it, but I don't know, I find it, like, it's,
I guess, what the I guess I wonder what the line is with, like, them sharing it and then you resharing it, like,
it just feels awkward to me, right?
She shared it, like, I don't need to reshare it in that sense, but then maybe if you are close to her, that's something,
it's like
she
solidarity
would want. Yeah, like, I don't know what you do with that. And so obviously that's a very different turn than a breakup, but yeah, like, I'm not someone who goes in and delete. I guess it depends on what the breakup is. But, like, I'm not someone who's like, all right, I got to cull this feed now. I got to get through that. I usually just end up, if there are a bunch of recent pics, I might delete those because I don't want to see those.
Yeah.
You know, depending on, like
I don't want it to be, like, the first thing I see when I open my Instagram. Like,
Or open your photo album or whatever on your phone.
You could, like, leave some down in the dumps of the grid. Like,
That's what, like, I mean. Like, it's like if you took a vacation 3 years ago and there's a really cool picture of you guys standing on a mountain, like, that one can stay. But,
absolutely. Yeah. And I've got, like, the TimeHop app that I'll, like, kind of just check almost every day. It's just kind of part of that, like, phone routine. And there are ones from, like, previous relationships and dating and all that shit. And I'm just like, oh, right, that was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, oh, right, that was 3 years ago. Right. Oh, and so, like, exactly. And it's not something where I'm like, fuck, I wish I didn't have these on my phone. Like, it's just kind of like, oh, right. But there's also, like, enough distance with those that I guess it doesn't matter. I don't know.
So, okay, this is just something I thought of as Waz was talking about how there are people that, like, post basically, like, 2 or 3 pictures a week of, like, them with their significant other. How do you guys feel when there's, like, a, like, huge discrepancy between, like, one person and the other? Like, one person posts a lot and then the other person has, like, nothing that shows they're in a relationship at all.
The person that's posting a lot is insecure.
Hey.
First of all,
what would
Sarah's
you prescribe,
right.
Sarah, I don't hate that someone theory. Like this?
What?
What would you prescribe your pharmacist?
Some self-respect. Some self.
5 milligrams a day. Or?
Find yourself somebody that's into you as you're into them. Like,
man. But then you got two people posting on social media like crazy, and nobody wants that.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, when I see people post constantly about their relationship, I'm like, man, they must be in trouble or they're compensating for something. I don't ever see it like, oh wow, you know.
But the thing is, like, I don't. I it's rare to see that though, because what ends up happening is, like, for instance, I'll give my own example. Like, my girl's birthday was in July, right? And I don't do birthday shout outs on my fucking right. page. Like, I don't do that. Like, I know too many people. I'd be doing it every single day.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm just not going to participate. But I know, because she has family members who follows me, friends, coworkers, all of these things. Politically, I have to do it.
So, yeah. So acknowledge it.
So you feel those pressures even when, you know, you just from the outside, you know, people are looking and watching and like, that's interesting. I never see blah, 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 blah. No. So I don't think you can even do it if you don't want to. Like, as once one of the people is doing it, the other person has to participate some way, shape, or form in all of it.
Yeah, I think that it is a little weird if there's no trace at all on the other person's page. Like, I don't know. I'm also someone that feels like, it's like, if your partner's being that public about it and, like, you're seeming, like, purposefully not, then that's, like, it's just weird to me. It's like...
Well, it's only weird if you're posting, like, lots of pictures, like, your food or, you know, if you're active on social but not posting about your significant other and they're posting about you, yes, that's weird. But if you're just one of those people who, like, you know, the lurker...
Well, right, I guess, what do we do with the whole, like, story feed...
Oh, God.
Split now, right? Because like occasionally, you know,
story people. That's interesting.
The grid is sacred.
Yeah.
Zach.
Yeah, right. Well. Also, okay. So like, Aaron is like basically a professional hot person at times, right? And so like, I don't expect to see me on her feed at all. I don't expect me to see me in her stories at all. But like, I'm in there occasionally, and I just like it doesn't bother me, because to me that's like. Her social media is an aspect of her work, just like my social media is an aspect of my work.
It's like a business thing.
Yeah.
She doesn't even use you as contrast to make herself look better, though?
Well, she does that in her stories often.
I'm hot. Oh, okay. Yeah. He's not. Just kidding.
But, like, there's, like, I don't know. There's a couple of pictures of us, but, like, I also don't, like, we have pictures of us. I've got them. She's got them. Like, I don't need those to be posted kind of thing. But I've also been in relationships before where, like, it was posted all the time. I'm like, all right, this is a lot.
Yeah.
Where I actually got in trouble for not posting enough.
I've just pulled back from social media so much.
Yeah, same. Yo, I actually got my Instagram. I posted, like, a picture for, like, the first time in a while. And, like, Instagram, like, locked my account because. Like,
this isn't you.
No, it, like, I was just trying to like pictures
suspicious
of, like.
Suspicious activity.
Yeah, it was, like, they were, like, we're trying to protect our community. And I was, like, okay, so you're punishing me for, like, finally participating in your bullshit. Like, okay.
Wow.
That's a good business model.
Yeah. I was nice. Like, I didn't violate any community rules. I was really confused, and I was like, I'm just trying to like a picture of a lemon pie, and it's saying that like you're trying to protect the community by restricting activity.
It stopped me from unfollowing people because I was doing it too fast.
Oh, that's
It was like you've done too many of these in too short a time. Like, this is for your protection. I was like, no, it's not. My protection would be unfollowing as many people as I want to. That's what I want.
Like, I just put the screenshot in the group chat because it's like really funny because it's like clearly like some lemon cake and it's like the most innocent photo and I'm just trying to like it. I'm not even like commenting and it's just like try again later. Anyway,
for social, for me though, I'm always like, is anything fucking private anymore for people? Like, you know what I mean?
They don't want to be private, Jade. They don't want to be. They all want to be celebrities.
It's a public page, it's not private. Yeah.
I mean, even the thing that was going around yesterday with the wife of John Legend.
That's what we were talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was doing something else. I thought that was just so strange. I mean, you feel free to do it, but I mean, four pictures. That was a lot, you know?
But the thing is, outside of Chrissy Teigen, like two people who I've known – their partners miscarried before, like they couldn't even bring the baby to term. And I watched them do the whole thing on social, but at the same time, they were documenting the process on social. You know, like the 5 months and the bigger bump and the this and the shower and the, you know. And so part of me was like, I kind of get it, you know, like that.
Yeah, I wonder if you almost have to at that point, right?
Yeah, it's like,
because people are going to wonder. Yeah.
Like literally step by step, they were documenting all of it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just tough with social
media. Mindset I can't understand, but.
Should there be press releases when people break up then? Because I've done like the. Anybody, because like I've done the thing where like
Shams is trying to diversify his portfolio, so maybe he's getting that game.
Aren't there though? A couple of big celebrities.
Well, but with me, like it's happened a couple times with breakups where people are like still texting us together. I'm like, now I got a DM like, hey, actually,
yeah, it's like, hey, we're not together anymore. Yeah,
just out of respect, if you could just not try to tag us and shit, kind of thing. Like, but that's like something where I do wish there was some kind of press service for that. Maybe that's the next move.
I got out of the game before it all kind of happened. So
before it all hit the fan.
But when I see, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. People just, it becomes, some people do it so much. You're like, it's annoying. Stop, please. Get it. You love your wife.
Yeah.
Maybe there should be a feature on the feed where you get to keep the pictures up, but you can put an X over.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like my whole thing is I feel like the only thing that I need to be able to look at your profile picture. I mean, your profile and tell if you are in a relationship or not. That's all I want to know. Sometimes for not like, I'm not saying for everyone, but right. I'm just like, if I'm doing my homework on someone, I just want to know, like, not even necessarily doing someone I'm interested in.
That's not like a serial killer thing, Eden. I gotta be honest.
He's always trying to do homework.
Sometimes when you're trying to like,
what you call it? Stalking? Yeah, whatever. Funny, that was a funny line.
You guys all do it too, okay? It's not like none of us have ever like been in, like intrigued by a person and been wanted to know if they were in a relationship or not, okay?
I'm an expert.
Like y'all act like I'm the only person that do it.
Dude, honestly, it's rare the woman these days that you don't know that they're in a relationship on social. Uh-oh. If a chick's in a relationship, for the most part, you are going to know very quickly by looking at her social media.
There is no trace of my current relationship on the internet. You would not be able to find out.
That's good, man.
I mean, Eden's right, though. You should do as much research if it's a significant other, but I don't like stalking randos. Like,
I love stalking randos. Yeah.
Oh, you do?
I don't like stalking people I know.
Like sometimes you meet someone like when you're out and about and it's like, you know, it was a nice conversation and you're like, you know, I just want to see if they're in a relationship or not.
I mean, I will Google people, you know, like whenever they apply for jobs just to see like what I'm getting myself into.
What kind of person they are in general.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, yeah, that's a definite no.
Yeah.
So but other than that.
They don't do that anyway?
No. Like look at their social media. No,
just like a background check. Isn't that part of a background check?
Yeah, but
there's going to be stuff on your social media that's not going to show up on a background
when you interview
check.
Them. Yeah, right. When you interview them, you don't do the background check until you offer them a position.
Arrested for stealing 60 pills of OxyContin.
Just 60? Oh my goodness. You're going to steal OxyContin. Like you got to go
60 bottles. Right?
Hey, it's a dollar per milligram. So $80 tablet is $80.
They go for $80. Oh yes, yeah. I know. Oh, yeah. No, indeed. I don't know. Speaking of Mac, and got a little Mac Weldon read for you. I think I'm on I want to say like at least 120 day straight stretch of wearing Mac Weldon, guys.
Oh, it's all
not,
I got.
They're not stretched out.
I called the herd. I got rid of everything that wasn't Mack Weldon for underwear. Never been happier.
Nice. All right.
I'm looking into getting a couple more pairs because it's all I wear, from socks, shirts, hoodies, underwear, polos, and active shorts. Mack Weldon promises comfort and a consistent fit. Very, very comfortable.
So soft.
Fabric technology, people. Wide range of customized fabrics that can keep up with you no matter what, like me on the soccer field. You know what I mean? I'm out there looking good. Got some
it really is
too.
Good for like being active, like as an underlayer, because I wear like them as shorts and they're just like so soft and so comfortable.
Fantastic.
And they move well.
Let me tell you about Weldon Blue. Mack Weldon has created a totally free loyalty program. Level 1 gets you free shipping for life once you reach level two by spending $200. Mack Weldon gives you 20% off every order for the next year. That makes all the difference. Trust me. Mack Weldon wants you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair of underwear, Zach, you can keep them and you'll get refunded. No questions asked.
Right. You don't want these after I put them on.
So for 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com/ding and enter promo code DING. That's MackWeldon.com/ding. Promo code DING for 20% off Mack Weldon, reinventing men's basics. What else we got? Oh, wait. Give me an intro, Mace.
All right. Hello, and welcome to the Friday hashtag AskWaz mailbag on the Count to Dings Network. I'm your host, Dinty Mace, coming to you from San Francisco. On the line to answer your fantastic inquiries, we have in Los Angeles, CTD MVP and Daily Ding King. One would think, and therefore one was, Santa Hoops, a.k.a. St. Nicholas Cage. Mariano Blanco, the one-liner designer. He respects the boulevard. Zach, Bruce, Oscar, the Haitian sensation with a Caucasian fixation, vocation's irritation of the general population, the black intellectual, Siberian rock, cultural anthropologist, sexual politician, you know the fucking vibes, it's Big Wise! An Oklahoma morning rests on Twitter like Stephen Adams does in real life. If she had oil money, she wouldn't be friends with us. Spilling your prescription for her devastating burns and filling her refrigerator with different cheeses. She doesn't sweat, she glistens because she keeps the thermostat down. It's Sarah the Thermosist. The only Asian that doesn't raise it in Arkansas with a greener light than J.R. Smith and a tattoo for each of the seven deadly sins on both of her rib cages. Her love of Duke is not a fluke. She won't spook due to any rebuke. She can carve up the ice and fix her love life with Eden Lou. And in Bloomfield, Connecticut, Jake Christie is his brother and his wife. Amateur bear watcher with a bionic colon. Chief dips, conspiracy, consigliere, jaded bull. Scored 103 goals at the squirt level. Only 28, but his mind is old. He came out the womb wilt. It's not a bit. He's dinging in the rain. Just dinging in the rain. The evil producer